You are so welcome in here this morning, particularly if you're new. But if you're not new, we love to see you. It's fantastic to have you in. Want to welcome everyone watching live on Facebook, Instagram, catching up on podcast, YouTube. It's great to have you online as well if you couldn't make it in here today. I have cut my sermon short a little bit today because we wanted to make room for our kids and we wanted to have a bit of a feast here as well. However, what I do want to share is important. So I'm going to pray that by God's Holy Spirit, He blesses you. So I pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, would you send your Holy Spirit into our minds and into our hearts. And what you want us to hear, let it resonate, let it take root, and let it help us to be real disciples. And whatever just comes from me, let it be forgotten straight away. Come, Holy Spirit, and move by power in this place as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is part one of what I call a fishing net. I was walking not far from where I live recently, and I was watching the fishermen coming in, and I saw them with their fishing nets, and I had a bit of a revelation on the pier there. And the revelation was, in all the years I've been a Christian, born again 45 years, we have given all our lives to serving God, to building the Christian church here in Cork. All of us who founded the church here all those decades ago. But maybe it's just me, and I could be missing out, but I have never heard anyone preach about fishing nets, nor have I ever given it an awful lot of thought. But today I want to look at fishing nets. You might think that's boring. Can I submit to you? It's not at all boring. It's very challenging. So what are fishing nets got to do with you and me? Well, the beginnings of the Christian movement collectively began from Matthew chapter 4. We read in verse 18 and we're told, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Peter and Andrew casting a net, a fishing net, into the sea. These two brothers became the first followers of Jesus, and he built up his 12 disciples, a wider group then of 72, and we think overall about 500, because the risen Christ appeared to 500 people. And then, of course, that gave birth to the early Christian church, when on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured down and they were given the gift of tongues and there was miracles. And in that place, we saw 3,000 and 5,000. And the whole Christian movement began with a fishing net being cast into the sea. And Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And when you read men, it doesn't mean women are excluded. Will the sisters say amen?
Amen.
Men is just a collective term. It basically means like human. But Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And what Jesus was saying, I am going to bring you to a place in your experience and in your life where what you were doing naturally, you're going to do more powerfully spiritually.
Amen.
And so Peter and Andrew are listening to him, and then they decide to follow him. And here is the beginnings of the first followers, these two brothers. And we know that Jesus walked on, but what we do know is that the water is significant of the world, fish is symbolic of the people, you and I, and the net is symbolic of the gospel and the Christian church. What do I mean by the world? The world's way of doing life, the world's philosophy, the me first philosophy. The philosophy of just make loads of money. It's okay to love money. It's okay to do this. Okay. No, there's a better way. There's a higher way. And it's called the narrow way. It's Christianity. And so the world, God wants us to be taken from it. Not physically. We're in it, but we don't belong. We are the people. And then the net is the gospel and the Christian church. So the net is cast in and fish are caught. This is my opinion. You may disagree. But in my opinion, fish and fishing are the background music of the New Testament. I remember years ago when Lidl, the German supermarket, opened in Ireland, and I went in there to have a look around with my wife Denise, and what struck me wasn't the very cheap prices, it wasn't the choice or lack of choice, it was that there was no background music. I felt it eerie, maybe because I'm very audio inclined, I don't know, but in a lot of places you go in, there's background music. They had no background music. But I think in the Christian life, fish and fishing are analogies that are used so often. Remember, Jesus was a carpenter. The Hebrew word tektel basically means builder, but we hardly ever hear anything about that used in analogy. They did use some agricultural analogies, and then if you go further south from where this happened, there was shepherds and sheep, but fish and fishing seemed to be a really big thing. Remember Jesus' ministry? Most of his ministry was right by the Sea of Galilee in a triangle of land between three towns, and Jesus based himself for his 3 years of public ministry just over in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. So fish and fishing is a big thing. We're really foolish if we don't stop and pause and take on board what is this saying to you and to me in our Christian lives, and how do we apply it. Then we see and we read about people mending nets. And I don't know if you can see it, and if you're watching online or if you're listening to the podcast, you probably can't, but there's a photograph up on the screen of who are purporting to be John and James, and they're mending a fishing net, but there's a big hole in the net. And here we have the guys mending the nets. What's that about, and what does that mean for you and me today? We're told in verse 21 to 22, going on from Peter and Andrew, Jesus saw two other brothers, James and John, mending their nets. And when he called them, they immediately left their boat, they left their father, and they followed him. But they were mending nets. Jesus finds them in their everyday lives. James and John weren't preaching, they weren't praying, they were mending nets. Why is this detail included? In my opinion, this is a picture of discipleship. Last week, Dara was sharing how God doesn't call us to make Christians, he called us to make disciples. Inherent in the word disciple is the word discipline, the spiritual disciplines. And here we see that Jesus, they didn't have to dress up for Jesus. They didn't have to put on a holy face for Jesus. He just met them where they're at. He meets you where you're at. He meets me where I'm at. Do you think Jesus loves me any less when I'm in my pajamas than when I'm in my lovely suit and tie here in church? Of course he doesn't. But he met them in their everyday lives and their mending nets. And in my opinion, this is very prescient. It is prophetic. It is powerful. This detail is not put in scripture just as a by the way. There is something more going on in this narrative. You see, fishing and mending are two sides of the same coin, because we're called to fish and we're called to mend our nets. Peter and Andrew, those two brothers, were fishing. James and John were doing the mending. Which was more important and which was better? You see, it's two sides of the same coin. I have here in my hand a 2 euro coin. And if you look at one side of the coin, you can see the 2 euro European sign. And if you look at the back of the coin, you can see the Irish harp. Now, which is the coin? Is it the harp or is it the 2 euro sign? It's both. And sometimes we can overemphasize something in our lives where we forget that there is a balance in any person who takes their faith seriously between fishing and mending. So it's two sides of the same coin. What does it mean? Each believer has a net. It can be a mixture of our faith, our gifts, our relationships. But every believer, every Christian, every disciple is called to cast the net, but also to mend the net. How is faith different? For example, when Denise and I became Christians, when we were in our late teens, all those years ago here in Cork, what attracted me was I discovered Jesus Christ could be a great friend, the best friend to me. Whereas Denise was attracted by the fact that God was her father. Her dad had just died of cancer, and she was only in her teens, and it was the father's love that really attracted her. I came through the route of, if you will, Jesus Christ was a great friend. Denise was attracted as God the Father. We both came to the same place, the foot of the cross, but the faith journey was different. Everybody's faith journey here is unique. Some people feel their way into the kingdom of God and their thinking catches up. Other people think their way into the kingdom of God and their emotions catch up. But either way, we all have our own faith journey. We all have different gifts. We all have different relationships. So this really is a bit like our net. So what does it mean to cast your net? It means sharing our faith. Faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by
the
word of God. So we know that, but it's not just that. Casting our net is also serving others. Sometimes we're not able to share words. We have to earn people's trust. And sometimes we do that by good works. But equally, remember the early Christian church? Their evangelism is what we call passive evangelism. They weren't going out preaching in the marketplace. They did that later. But what was happening was the power of the Holy Spirit was moving. People were being healed. People's lives were being changed. And that attractional model was leading thousands every day to faith. But equally, they were loving one another. We read it in the book of Acts, see how they love one another. And when they saw the love they had for one another, that was like sharing the gospel. That genuine love just attracted people to Jesus Christ. We know that John himself quoted Jesus in his gospel, chapter 13, verse 35. Love one another as I have loved you, then all will know you are my disciples. If you don't love the brothers and sisters, what's up with you? Anyone say amen?
Amen.
How do you know someone loves God? Because they love the brothers and they love the sisters. I've met people with huge Bibles. They would eat you in 2 seconds. They'd go through you for a shortcut. I don't pick up any love there. I really have to question, are they even regenerate? They're all judgment. No. No. Love one another. You see people loving their brothers and sisters, I mean in a healthy way, then there's something good going on. So we cast our nets in different ways, but cast them we must. What about if your net is, you need to mend your net? You see, your net, my net, they tear with use. Here's what I really want to say. Without mending your net, the catch is lost. You will never influence others, as we're called to do, with the gospel, if we don't mend our nets. Fishermen regularly mend their nets before they go fishing. Hallelujah. What's torn nets mean? Broken relationships. Wounded souls. Spiritual drift. Difficulty forgiving. These are just some examples of how your net and my net can be torn. We don't address issues, and the holes in our net get bigger and bigger, and we're not effective either in telling people about Jesus or serving others. We're just not effective because we're not mending our nets. What does it mean to mend your net? Some of us just need to forgive someone. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's not complicated. Forgive the person who hurt you. Him. Yeah. Her. Yeah. Forgive one another. Sometimes we have to address burnout. Sometimes there is burnout in our lives. We're so overwhelmed, we're just starting to burn out. We need to recognize it, because if we don't recognize burnout, burnout will recognize us, and it's much harder to deal with it later on. We need to seek reconciliation. Maybe you forgave someone, but God wants you to take the next step and reconcile with them. You may have to build up trust again, I'm not denying that, but reconciliation is part of the Christian message. And we need to make time to pray and to rest so that our nets don't tear under strain. What does it mean for the church? Casting our net is our mission, our outward focus. Mending our nets is our spiritual formation, our inner strengthening. Now, I want to ask you a favor. Is it okay if I share a weakness I have?
Yes.
I have a condition. I call it accentitis. When I read some verses in the Bible, I can't say them in my lovely Cork accent. I begin to say them in different accents because somehow in my head, I just got down the road of that verse belongs to that country. So if you have a verse that is full of courage and faith, for some reason I get an American accent. If you're watching in the United States, Donald Trump, please forgive me here. But if it's something like, have faith, you know, have faith, take the land, climb the mountain. I see I can't do it in a Cork accent, it just comes out in an American accent. If it's a kind of a harsh word, again, respect everyone from Northern Ireland, but I kind of hear a Northern Ireland accent, I get a Belfast accent, like, remember they keep holy the Sabbath day, and I get that accent. But I actually get an English accent as well sometimes, and when I think of this, I think of a teaching that was doing the rounds about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It's not that it was wrong, it's just there was a bit of an overemphasis. And I remember different pastors talking about, is the church for mission or is it for maintenance? I preferred to use the word mending. But they were using maintenance, and what they were trying to do is to get a lot of churches that were navel-gazing, just looking into themselves constantly, and get them to look out to their calling. And I think what they were doing was good, but it was as if there was no more mending nets. It was all about mission. And I can remember a lot of English guys going, church, church, it's all about mission, it's not about maintenance, church. And I get an English accent when I say that. The thing is, it's about both. If in your life, all you do is you cast your net and you don't mend your net, you're ineffective. And if all you ever do is mend your net and you never fish, what are you about? The net is in your hand for a purpose. Who'll say hallelujah?
Amen.
You and I are called to share our faith and to live the Christian life. It's not just about us, but there are two sides of the same coin. Here's an English pastor who I think really has it right. I met him once, Tim Eldridge, over in the UK. He said, a net is only as strong as its weakest link. Church is like a net together. Every knot is a relationship. Mending knots is mending relationships. Brothers and sisters, we need to mend the knots in our fishing nets. The nets aren't right, the catch is lost. And sometimes those relationships are marriages. Sometimes the relationships are within families, a father and a daughter, a mother and a son, a brother, a sister. Sometimes it's in work, sometimes it's in the neighborhood. And horror of horrors, sometimes it's in a Christian church. But God wants us to mend our nets. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
And mending nets is mending relationships. So there are knots in a fishing net, and they have to be mended. Let me say one more thing. There are lots of different colored nets here in the photograph. Everybody in this world is in some kind of a net. I hope most of us here are in God's net. But there's the net of money, there's the net of addiction, there's the net of body beautiful, there's the net of it's all about your career. There is one good net, and that is the net that God has cast into our lives. But some of us are in different nets. And I remember years ago someone saying to me, I would never be a fish in a net for Jesus. But I remember saying to him, but you're in some net. And he is, and he was. So brothers and sisters, today, here's my question. Are you in Jesus' net? Because if you're not, you can make a decision here today where you in a wonderful way get caught in the best net. Delivered from one net, but into a better net. And then for those who love the Lord here, some of us need to mend our nets today. And you need to say that to the Lord. But before I do that, comrade, are you out there somewhere? Michael, could you come up? I just want to share one last thing before the band lead us in a beautiful song called How He Loves Us. This is something that's been on my mind all week long. And this is what I feel the Holy Spirit has said, and he's saying it to some of you. Thank you, comrade. What I saw and what I felt the Lord saying is some of us are living our Christian lives in a fetal position. A fetal position. When you were in your mother's womb or me, we were curled up. A bit like this. Michael is going to show us what the fetal position is. Michael starts every day in the office like this. And I have to say, come on, please, do a day's work. But this is the fetal position. And what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying to some of us is, you have found yourself going into this position. You're becoming fearful. And God is saying to you, you need to come out of that position. You're better than that. And faith is the opposite of fear. And you know what I saw, what I feel the Lord saying? You go from the fetal position to the position of surrender at the cross. And what that is you fall with your face to the ground and you put your hands out. Michael right now is lying down in the shape of the cross. And this is what God is challenging some people to do today. Maybe you'll miss your ice cream. That's okay. But God is saying, come out from the fetal position and just lay yourself down and surrender to me. You mightn't feel you've got the courage. I'll give you the courage. I'll give you the faith. I'll give you the hope for your future. We put our hands together for Michael. He's so embarrassed, and we've all seen him. We're going to pray in a moment. As I said, I just cut the word short, given the day. But can I ask you to stand? We're just going to sing the song, How He Loves Us. And then I'm going to give those an opportunity to call on the Lord, to be caught in his wonderful net, for us to mend our nets, and maybe some of us to lie down in the shape of the cross up here before the Lord. Consider this as we just sing once the song, How He Loves Us.
He's jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane, high in a tree, bending beneath the weight of his word and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, he gives my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for me.
everyone to close their eyes, on stage, off stage, everybody serving. Let's give one another privacy, because I know there are some here. And you know that the tide, that the rhythm of the water of your life has led you here today. It's not a coincidence or a chance. And the Lord is trying to capture your affection. If you'd like to call on the Lord in total privacy here today, you've never called on Him before to follow Him, or maybe you've drifted away from Him a while back and you want to come back to the Lord. All I can see are shadows because the lights are in my eyes, but I can see if a hand is up. If that's you in total privacy, with every eye closed, would you just lift your hand for a moment? And then we'll pray collectively. I see your hand. Hallelujah. I see yours. Praise God. I see yours. I see yours. I see yours. I see yours. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think we've got 6 people. I'm going to ask, can you repeat this prayer after me? But particularly those 6 people who put up their hands. Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here today, not by chance. I know you've led me here. I want to call on you and follow you. Be my Savior. Be my leader. Be my friend. Capture my heart. Let me be caught in your net. I turn from my old ways. And I follow you from today on. Come into my life and bless me. In Jesus' name, amen. We give those 6 guys a round of applause. God bless you. If you don't have a Bible or a New Testament, we'd love to give you one for free. It's got QR codes where you can listen from it as well. Come to see Michael, myself, or Dara. We'd love to give you one. I want to pray for those of us who want to mend a knot in our net. It's usually a relationship. But equally, some of us here, God is calling you to come out from the fetal position and to surrender to Him, just as Mike did physically. Your body outwardly is doing what's going on inside. So I'm going to ask you, if you're ready to do that, you have to have courage and humility to do that. So first of all, if you're ready to lay down in the shape of the cross, will you lift up your hand? Because you can't be embarrassed by that. You see your hands? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask that you make your way up to the top, guys. And it's very simple. You lay down with your face into the ground, and you stretch your hands out. You tell the Lord, I am surrendering to you. That's a James Goodman. Just lay down on the ground before God. Don't be embarrassed about what men think, what women think. They don't matter. It's what God thinks. We're here to serve an audience of one. We lay down, we put out our hands, and we say to God, I am lying down. I want to be at the foot of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters here. Can you lift a hand forward, guys, those of you who aren't up in the top? Just stretch out your hand. We pray into each life here, Lord. As they come out from the fetal position, as they leave a place of fear, we pray you would give them courage and faith to move forward in your power and in your love. So we bless them. Who will say amen?
Amen.
And as they are here on the 31st of August, in the year of our Lord, 2025, in Grace Christian Church, McCurtain Street, Cork, you are watching. You are looking and hearing their hearts. And as they have come here, and with their bodies surrendered in the shape of the cross, we pray into their lives. And we pray courage, we pray hope, and we pray a future. Thank you, Lord. You have something far better than a fetal position for them. You have a life of faith laid before them, and we bless them now in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Put your hands together as these guys have come before the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, brothers. God bless you, sisters. Some of us are here today to mend nets, and you need to say that to the Lord. We need to mend our fishing nets, because if we don't, the catch will be lost. If that's you, finally, just lift up your hand wherever you are. You're saying, here I am, Lord. I'm going to mend my fishing net. Praise God, I see your hands. I'm just going to pray into your life, into your relationships, into your future. Come, Spirit of God, as our brothers and sisters know, are considering the relationships in their lives, I pray, God, you would give them a humility and a courage to touch those knots and give them the dexterity to tie the knot together again and to repair the holes in their fishing nets. And as they do so, I pray, God, that the net would be fully restored. I pray into anyone who was burnt out, I pray restoration in Jesus' name. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
And I pray, God, recovery for those who need to recover from a life that has been ripping them apart. May they begin to recover by you sewing their net together as they put their hands on that net as well.
Amen.
Let restoration and completion be released into these lives in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Can we take one more minute? Let's sing the rest of this song as an anthem and a prayer for the coming week. Because God loves us. Because he loves us, we love one another. Let's sing it. So shall
we are his portion and he is our prize.
One more word for someone here. I saw an older woman been caught in a spider's web, and God is saying, the trap you're in is not from God. That relationship is toxic. You need to protect yourself from it. And I'm just going to pray right now into your life that the nail-pierced hand of Jesus would slice through that spider's web that is capturing you, and God is going to set you free today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Could everyone close their eyes? Please forgive me just one last time. And I want to give total privacy. If you're that lady, nobody's watching, I can't see your face, just slip up your hand so I know I'm not praying into the air. Okay. Praise God. Okay, I think we've two ladies. In the name of Jesus, we invite you into that situation, Lord, that relationship, and we pray now the words you said to Pharaoh. Let them be said to the originator of that toxic relationship. Let my people go. Let our sisters, both of them, walk free, O God, from a relationship that is destroying them and trying to finish them off. Lord, we are for good relationships, but I pray in Jesus' name, liberty would come into those situations and let healing break out. So we commit them to you now, and we do it in Jesus' name. And for the final time this service, the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Pray.